On today's episode of Real Talk, I have with me attorney Daria Walker Huntington. Attorney Walker Huntington is a practicing attorney in Plantation, Florida, where she practices in immigration and family law. And she's also a diversity and inclusion consultant, a former magistrate of the city of Miramar, and former hearing officer for Broward County Animal Court. She's a graduate of Miami-Dade College and Florida International University with degrees in journalism, University of Miami Law School with a JD, and Cornell University with Diversity and Inclusion Certificate. Daria has spoken and written extensively on issues of Jamaican diaspora affairs, immigrants' rights, and race and gender equality. A member of several organizations, including the American Lawyers Association, where she is the vice president of the National Diversity and Inclusion Committee, she was AILA's National 2021 Diversity and Inclusion Awardee. And I would just like to add that Daria is a frequent visitor to Capitol Hill, where she has lobbied on behalf of immigration rights for many of us here in the diaspora. Attorney Daria Walker Huntington, welcome to Real Talk.
Ambassador Ward, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
As a professional woman and a Caribbean leader, a member of the Jamaican and Caribbean diaspora, right here in the United States, please share with me your perspectives on what it means for the entire Caribbean that women in and from the region are leading in the manner I have described.
It's a long time coming. It's very refreshing. It's very empowering. It's empowering to me as a woman who's probably older than all of the women that you've just listed, to see that in my lifetime, women are leading in such a fashion. But it's even more empowering to women who are younger than these women you have listed to see role models, to know that they too can achieve this level of international recognition and regional recognition. So it is one of these things where representation matters, and to see yourself reflected in these leadership roles by these outstanding women can only serve to empower young girls in the region.
Does it mean the glass ceiling has been broken, or do we still have a long way to go for Caribbean women to easily ascend to these top positions once reserved for men?
Oh, a long way to go. I'm sure if you spoke to each of these women, they will tell you what their individual struggles have been to get to where they are. And make no bones about it, that women, particularly women of color, Black women, face a double obstacles in order to achieve where they want to be. The world has been founded on a patriarchal society, and it continues to be that way. So for women in these singular positions to have broken out is outstanding. But it doesn't mean that the ceiling remains open for others to come behind. Everyone will still continue to have to struggle to get to the top of their game against implicit biases that people have, including other women, of women and their ability to lead.
So, I would like to regard the appointment of the first female head of the Jamaica Defense Force, mm-hmm. first in Jamaica, first in the Caribbean, first in the Americas, as a watershed period for the advancement of women in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in regarding it in this way?
It is a watershed moment, but it does not mean that women coming up the ranks in the JDF are going to have an easier time to ascend to leadership roles. What Rear Admiral Gorman has been able to do is remarkable. It's a once in my lifetime achievement. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easier, but it means to women who are looking on and to young girls that it is possible. And so I'm sure she will tell you that in order for her to have achieved what she achieved, she needed the help of men. And this is where we talk about allyship in the diversity and inclusion space, is that in order for you to achieve, you need allies. And I'm sure that there were men who helped her along the way because she had no female role models. So she had to have had the help of men. So we continue as women, as we try to ascend in various sectors, that we need allies in order to do so, not just in the Caribbean, but those of us living in the diaspora, working in whether it's the UK, Canada, or the United States, in order to achieve as Black women, predominantly Black women, we need allies. And the allies have to come from the majority in whatever space you're working in.
So how should women in the armed forces across the Caribbean perceive of Rear Admiral Remus Gorman's breaking of this glass ceiling? Mm-hmm. As you quite rightly said, it's a male-dominated profession. But how should these women view this as to their own career expectations? You also mentioned the importance of mentorship. Mm-hmm. And this is a great opportunity, I believe. But let me hear your perspective on that.
Well, clearly, they're going to view it as a positive, as a potential. So they can see that the sky is the limit, literally, to where they can reach. But they're not going to be able to do it if the door is closed after Rear Admiral Gorman. And this is why it's a lot of pressure on her as being the first to ensure that she's not the last, as our vice president is frequently reminding us. You may be the first to achieve something, but ensure that you're not the last. But along with that comes, hopefully, the eye-opening of the other males in the hierarchy to see that a woman can ascend to the role, do it effectively, and therefore maybe decrease any unconscious bias that they may have, so that they will now mentor, bring along with them other women, not discredit a woman in the military purely because she's a woman. So I think it's beyond inspirational. It has some concrete results that can come from it. This really once in a lifetime achievement that we've seen so far.
I have two more quick questions I'd like to ask you.
Yes.
One, do you think she'll be held to higher expectations and higher standards than her male predecessors?
Oh, absolutely. As women, we know that. we know that when we step into a space, the expectations for us is higher, and because the critique does not come from the same place. So often when you have a male and female, the male will be critiqued on the substance of the work, but the female is often critiqued on her personality. I've already seen some headlines that says that she's tough, she's feisty. I doubt that you would see that headline attributed to a male head of the JDF. So already we know, she knows, and we know that that's going to happen.
Always a different standard. Finally, and I can't help but ask you this question as an attorney. Federal U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan. Mm-hmm. Gave a landmark ruling preventing former President Trump from invoking executive privilege to bar certain documents going to the January 6th investigation committee. Quickly, as an attorney, as a Jamaican, and given Dr. Chutkan's also being a Jamaican, What is the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, more power to her. She was fearless. She was thoughtful. She was, and I'm sure she was doing it. She's thinking the same thing, that my ruling is going to be critiqued highly. And she dotted every I and crossed every T, and she was just spot on with her analysis. And so much so that it was upheld not only by Court of Appeals, but the U.S. Supreme Court, that is highly favored towards the former president. So you know that her reasoning came from a place of logic and legal thesis that could not be attacked on any ground other than the value for which it stood, that this was a solid legal argument.
Absolutely. Attorney Delia Walker Huntington, a phenomenal woman in your own right. I want to thank you for sharing those perspectives with me on Real Talk. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure, Ambassador Ward. Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure.